Glory to God. Well, we've been in a series called God's Great Mercy for Healing for a number of weeks now. We're getting close to wrapping it up. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. I want to read one verse. Why don't you find two places? Find 2 Corinthians 1 and Psalm 145. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians 1 and Psalm 145. We spent a little bit of time in Psalm 145 last time. We're going to, I believe, spend most of our time there. But I want to start in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Well, and there's some other things I probably want to get to as well, but everybody there? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Paul here says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. We talked about this earlier, but I just wanted to recap before we go to Psalm 145. It says, the Father of mercies. Not just mercy. Doesn't say he's just the Father of mercy. It says he's the Father of mercies, plural. He is merciful. He's a God of compassion. And he is a God of mercies. Now, let's go over to Psalm 145. You guys there? Psalm 145, verse 8. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies, his tender mercies, are over all his works. Now, we read this last week and we went through some of these. I want to take a little bit of time to go through this. The different parts of it, but it says, notice in verse 9 before we go, it says his tender mercies, again, plural. Just like we read in 2 Corinthians, it's plural, his mercies. And notice that his mercies are over all his works. But verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. So look at that first part, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's a gracious God. We're just going to focus on some of this tonight, and I want to believe just focus on a few things here. But notice it says he's gracious. He's a gracious God. When you're gracious, you are kind. You are forbearing. Even when somebody isn't being so nice, gracious, if you're gracious, you are patient. You're kind in the face of adversity. And this describes God. It says he's gracious and he's full of compassion. And like we said last week, if he's full of compassion, if you think of a glass that's full of water, there's not room for anything else. I mean, yeah, you could maybe squeeze some very small things in there. But generally, if you say a glass is full and you try to put more water in it, what's going to happen? It's going to spill over. This is God. He's not just a little bit compassionate. It's not just off in the corner somewhere. He is full of compassion. And we read that, talked about that last time. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. Slow to anger. He's not quick to anger. He's not short-fused. He's not quick-tempered. He is slow to anger. And he's great in mercy. The Bible says in verse 9, the Lord is good to all. and His mercies, His tender mercies, are over all His works. So that first part says the Lord is good to all. All means everybody. Everybody say all.
All.
Say everyone.
Everyone.
He is good to everyone. But you know, some Christians will say, well, He's been better to such so-and-so than He has to me. And maybe you've said that before. You know, maybe we've thought things like that. You know, I've thought things like that in the past. But, you know, like Brother Hagin says, you know, he goes, I went off and I was saying one time, you know, you were better than so-and-so than you have been to me. And he said, you might ask, were you saved? Yeah. Or he'd say, yeah, I was saved. Wouldn't have been talking to him if he wasn't. Somebody said, well, what did he say to you? And he said, nothing. He just let me gripe and complain. When I was through, then he started talking to me. But it's true, you can have the thought, well, God has been better to somebody else than He's been to me. But the Bible says He is good to how many? All. And some people will say, well, the Lord's good to some people and He's bad to others. But if people are saying that, then they haven't experienced God's goodness in their lives. If they haven't experienced God's goodness for themselves, it's not because God was different or God isn't good to them. It's because they didn't receive His goodness. Tell me again, how many is God good to? He's good to everybody. God does not play favorites. The Bible says He doesn't recognize the face of man. You know what God honors? Faith. He doesn't treat people differently. Now, this is against, some people have a misconception that God's singling people out and being really good to people, some people, and not being good to others. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That would mean God's unjust somehow. If he's playing favorites, let me ask you a question, you parents. If you have more than one child, would it be fair of you to favorite one of the children? And let me ask you a question, wouldn't they let you know if that was happening? Huh? They would call you on that. What if you have a classroom full of children and the teacher is playing favorites with a few of them? Don't you think the parents would let the teacher know that's going on? Or how about employees, employers? If you thought your child was being overlooked and somebody was, I mean, very... obviously somebody else was being favorited and your child was being kept, that wouldn't sit well with you. So if that doesn't sit well with us with people, why would we think God? See, what we're saying, if we say somebody's playing favorites, that's not right. We're saying that's unjust. That's not right. Something in us is saying that's not fair. But God is ultimately fair. There is nobody more fair than he is. Nobody. He is just. He is the definition of it. He is the standard. He is the standard of fair. There is no man that's more fair than God. There's no God, there's no man that's more just than He is. So if we would recoil and say, wait, that's not right. But then people turn right around and say, well, God, whether they vocalize it or not, God was good to them. In other words, they had favor. God was better to them than he was to me. Well, wait a minute. If they experienced some of God's goodness that maybe we didn't, does that mean God was different to them? Or could it be that somehow we were different? Now let me ask you a question. If in a classroom, the teacher's goodness, the teacher has the desire to be good to everybody, but there's certain kids that just are acting up all the time, not listening. She says, come, they go. She says, sit, they stand. Or he, you know, whatever. And so then, when it's time for recess, a bunch of kids are going out, but some people are staying back. And the kids could say, well, you're better to those people going out to recess than me. Well, wait a minute. You were different. You're accusing the teacher of being unjust, but wait a minute. Did you guys act the same? Did you receive the same? Because on day one, I'm not a teacher, but from what I know of teachers and have experience, I don't think the teacher goes in there with somebody picked out, unless they know about them previously, but I'm saying all things being equal, their desire is to be good to the kids, to give all the kids a chance, and to be fair. Right? But not everybody lets you be gracious to them. Anybody ever experienced that? Do you realize somebody said, you cannot be gracious to somebody that thinks they deserve it or that won't accept it? You can be trying to be really nice to somebody and no, I don't want any of it. Or they already think that they deserve something. It's very hard. You're trying to be kind and somebody just takes it. People have a part to play. And so God, like we said, God is ultimately, he's good. The Bible says he is good and his mercy endures forever. The Bible says he's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. So is God not fair? Would God actually pick people out and just say, you know what? I like your hairdo. I'm going to be really good to you. You got it cut too short. It's not going to be your week. Huh? You would, if somebody were to act like that, a person, you wouldn't have probably good things to say about that person. That's not fair. But if you were to hear some people in some areas the way they teach, God's just kind of like, you know, rolling dice or whatever. He's just picking people out like you. You're done dealing. And his goodness is not going to fall over here, but it is over here. But that would mean God's not fair. See, there has to be a reason. Again, if we're not experiencing God's goodness, we should ask why. And I'm not going to focus on that if we weren't. I'm saying if anybody were, but let's say the world at large, when something's not going well, and if they're a Christian or they're a believer. Why is it that if there's not something happening or there is something happening, why is it automatically God? When we have all these fallen, imperfect people running around and it could never be anything that we do or do not do, but it's God that somehow he's playing favorites? Wait a minute. We're accusing the creator of the universe, the most holy being, the most perfect being, that he has a problem? And we've been on the scene for how many decades? And how long has he been on the scene? He is the scene. I mean, he has always been. And we are been around for just that long. That doesn't even do it justice. If you were to take the span of my fingers and go all the way around the world and compare this to all the way around the world, that doesn't even begin to do it justice how little, how short we've been around compared to him. But when we see, well, why did that happen? Well, God isn't being, why did God do that? Why are we accusing him? The Bible says here, he's good to all. Does that mean what it says it means? You know, what it says, or is it that just kind of like, well, it says that, but we know different? That's not, see, we have a problem in how we've thought about things. Let's turn over, hold your finger in Psalm 145, because I think we'll get back. But let's go over to Romans. Thank you, Lord. Romans. We're going to go to 10. In Psalm 145, it says God is good to all. And that's, you know, we could say some person is a good man, good woman, but that's not the way the Bible is talking about it. The Bible is talking about God's goodness, His compassion toward us. See, His compassion and His goodness is toward us. And naturally speaking, before we go to Romans, I just wanted to fill in some of this. Naturally speaking, it's easy to be good to some people, isn't it? There's some people that they're just easy to like. Right? Be honest. And, you know, honestly, there are some people that are easy to like for some people and not for others, because, you know, a lot of it has to do with personality. Just a side thing, so many conflicts that go on between people are really just, a lot of times, they're just personality differences and how we interpret stuff. Somebody says something, you're like, well, if I said that, this is what I mean. And if you meant that, now we have a problem. But they didn't mean that at all. And then somebody that's more like them in personality hears that and goes, they didn't mean that, they meant this, because that's what I would say, and they're right. And this is what happens. You said that? If I said that, this is what I would mean. Well, they're not you. But anyway, there are people that are easier for you to like. You know why? A lot of times it goes, cuts both ways. Because some of the people that are, it's easy for us to like people that are like us, in some ways, but then on the other hand, the people that really tick you off, it's because they're a lot like you. And a lot of times, somebody said this, and you know, the longer you live, unfortunately, you find out they're probably right. When somebody's really making you mad, they're doing the same stuff that you do. The stuff that irritates you the most about other people, you know what Jesus said about the log, you know, in your eye? And the speck in your brother's eye. I think he was talking about some of this. You're saying, why don't you get, man, you make me so mad when you do that. And if there's somebody else, there was a third party looking in there going, really? You're talking about them? Have you looked in the mirror? But anyway, God looks at all of us and He loves us. And even if some people in the natural, they're hard to like, God loves them. And do you realize He's just as good to them as far as His goodness toward them as He is to you and to me? Now, we'll talk about receiving. See, that's a different thing. We're not talking about the results. We're talking about God's goodness toward people. Because He's good to everybody. So look at Romans. Romans 10. You know, 9 and 10 talk about being born again. Verse 9, we're going to go over. We're not really staying here, but in context, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. What does it say? What's the first word in that sentence? Whoever. What does that mean? It means whoever. It means whoever meets the condition, this will happen, right? And what does it say? Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Notice verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. See, he is rich to all, but then who call upon him. What did it say in verse 11? Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. What about the people that don't believe on him? See, there's conditions here. But notice, Jesus, he already died for everybody. He died, and the opportunity is there. God's goodness is to all. And he's so merciful, and he's so gracious. But just because he is merciful and gracious, there are people that will not receive it. There are people that will die and go to hell, not because God sent them, because they didn't receive what God had already done through Jesus. God's not going to send anybody to hell. People will, by their choice, will send themselves. They make a decision. They make a decision to listen to the liar, the adversary, and they're going to go the same direction he is. See, hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. But if human beings listen to the deceiver, they'll get the same punishment. It's not God's choice. But it says, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're talking about, you know, we haven't digressed here. We're talking about God's great mercy, specifically in healing, but this applies mercy. It says his mercies. Mercies, we said last week, I mean financial, relational. I mean, you could have a bad marriage for a long time, but if we'll humble ourselves and change, we can have that restored. God's merciful. You can make blunders financially. You had a good heart, but you messed up. And God can restore. We know that God forgives and he'll save us. I mean, when we receive forgiveness through Jesus, he's merciful and good. And it's the same way with healing. His mercy and compassion is toward us. His side is mercy. His side is good. But see, it's not all up to him. If it were up to him, everybody would be saved. Everybody would be healed. Everybody would have a perfect marriage. Everybody would be walking perfectly materially and financially. Everybody would be walking perfectly with their children. But it's not all up to him. He is good to all, but that's part of it. It's like his goodness is coming toward us. But then how much do we receive of it? And right here we're talking about the most important thing, which is being born again. The most, you know, any of your finances, any of your health even, you're going to forget it very quickly once you get to eternity. It's important for impacting eternal things here. Your body's important because what your condition of your body can affect how well you can do things that affect eternity. Your finances are probably the lowest on the totem. I mean, health is much more important than finances because you can get those back like this. Your health, you know, you got to believe God, but, you know, health is much more important than finances. But you're not going to care about your finances in heaven when the streets are paved with gold. It's not going to matter. All your needs are met. It's like the Garden of Eden. You don't care. I don't know if they have bank accounts. I don't know why they would need them. Bible says the light is from God. You got gold, you got these huge stones. I mean, they say you have mansions. I don't know why. Why would you care? Well, my bank account's bigger than yours. Here? I mean, really? You're in the midst of Almighty God? You don't care. So you're not going to care about that passage. But the most important thing is being born again, and people will reject that. Even though God's goodness is here, he's done everything, he's presented it, and people will, no, I don't want it. Really? But see, that's not God's choice. And if that's not God's choice, how many other things are not his choice as far as what we receive? So here, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then notice this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you have to believe. And how shall they believe in someone who they haven't heard? So you have to hear in order to believe. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you need a preacher that's going to tell you so you can hear so that you can believe. And how shall they not preach, or how shall they preach unless they are sent? So you need somebody to be sent so that they can preach, so that you can hear, so that you can believe. As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good, or glad tidings of good things." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" Verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How does faith come? It comes by hearing the word of God. The word of God comes in a certain area, and then we have a choice. Faith will be there, but we have a choice whether we're going to act on it or not. This is how it is in every area. That's how we can get born again. Somebody has to tell us about Jesus. We have to read it. We have to hear it somehow. And then we have to choose. Faith will be there. We have to choose to act on it. We act on it. We receive God's goodness. It's the same in every area. So right now we've been talking about mercy. Well, that word, if we'll let it, will change our thinking and our mind. The word will show up. The light of the word is just like a spotlight showing up what is wrong in our thinking. So we have to change our thinking to line up with that truth. That's how faith comes. When the truth comes, faith is there, but you can shut it down. Because we've had doctrine. See, we've heard something. This works all over the place. You hear something and hear something. You can accept it as true, even though it's false. But when God's word comes, we can, if we'll accept it as true and start acting on it and start saying, like in this area of mercy, God is merciful. God is good. See, it can change our thinking where maybe we got the idea, some of our problems, they were God. They were God doing something to us and somehow picking it. Why? Have you ever heard this? God, why did you do this to me? Who said it was him? Well, he's in control of it. That's another thing I'm not going to get into. He's not. We have a big part to play with what we receive. Again, if his perfect will were happening, everybody be saved. Everybody be healed. But it's not so. So we talk about his mercy and he's good. Some people go, well, yeah, he's good. You know, I know he's good, and we just don't understand how it's good. You know, he took my niece home early. She was a 3-year-old, and we just don't know why, but the Lord took her home. That's not true. I said, that's not true. That's a lie. God did not do that. God's mercy is toward everybody. What we receive is another thing. And what we receive is based on what we believe. See, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you won't call on him and you won't be saved. If you don't believe he's a healing God, you won't call on him and you won't be healed. If you don't believe he can restore you financially, you could believe the lie that I've made my bed, I got to lie in it, and God is just, he's mad at me. That's not true. He's waiting for us to act on and get up and go on. And if you believe he can still bless you, you'll start taking steps. You'll start taking chances. You'll apply for that job. You'll step out and you'll see God, you're giving him an avenue. You don't think that he can do anything? You know, your body is messed up and I'll just have to walk through like this. And if you think it's God's will, think about it like this. If you think that it's God's will for you to be sick, you will not receive healing. You think it, and this is exactly why certain people are in the condition that they are. If you've been taught, if a person, I should say, not you, but if individuals, and it happens all over the world, if you believe that it's God's will for you to be sick, you won't resist it. You'll open the door and say, it's God. I don't know why, but but I have this and it must be from God. You know, there are people that will fight you, literally, for their right, that they'll say, it's God that made me sick, and don't you tell me anything else. God made me this way. Well, God, even though, can you imagine? Imagine this, because this is a lot, this is the way it is. Can you imagine, again, I don't know, when we're talking about mercy and the way God sees and the Father mercies, it just lends itself so much to, if you have children or you think of how you know, your parents, if you had good parents, but mostly if you have children, it really it's just so, it's a good illustration. It's so easy to connect with. But can you imagine you having a child? And you love them, you cherish them, but somehow somebody started to lie to them about you. And even though your heart is only good, they started believing some of the lies about you. And even though you wanted to be good to them, they started resisting you. And they wouldn't let you do certain things because they thought you were bad. I mean, that would be heart-wrenching as a parent. That's what God experiences all the time. Because he has creation that he's made. And men have come up with all kinds of weird stuff over the years and the decades and the millennia. It's not him. I said it's not him. It doesn't matter if it's been around for 500 years. If it doesn't line up with that book, it's wrong. And there are people that are believing certain things and they think God's a certain way. Somewhere in there, people started thinking God is doing this. God is basically, they won't say it, but God's not for you. He's not good to, I mean, you might say he's good to you, but if some other people were good to you the way God's good to you, they'd be in jail. Only in church, we start getting messed up in our head and we start calling certain things good. And if another person would do that, you'd call it terrorism. But we put this religious brainwashing on and say, oh yeah, we believe it. God does that. Well, we don't really believe that outside of church. You go to work and talk about certain things and, well, God did this. People say, I don't want to serve your God. He does that. But God is good. How did people get that idea? They got the idea and they're believing it, so they'll receive certain things. And it's not God's will. So we'll take things in and receive it, even though God is good. He is merciful. He is being good. But because of this junk in the middle, which is exactly what we're talking about here, people don't understand. They have heard different things. And so it's like on this side is complete clarity. God is good. And here you have men, and then in the middle you have all their thinking, and men look at God and they don't understand, they're confused, they think God's against them, they think this is from God, so they're welcoming something, thinking it's from God, when actually it's not, it's part of the curse, it's part of the fall, it's part of the adversary, and God's good, but they think that's good, so they receive something in and think it's God and won't resist it. Why does that happen? Because of our heads. And what's the remedy? What we just read. How does faith come? It comes by hearing. So then we hear what the truth is, and now the Bible calls the word light. It calls it life. That light comes in and shines in this thing that we've accepted. We say, wait a minute, That doesn't line up with this. That's not the word. Wait a minute, this thing, I mean, there are certain things in my life I've realized, why was I putting up with this? I mean, if you live long enough, but as I've grown with God, I realize the only difference between what I'm experiencing now and then is me. I could have thought differently then and experienced different, but I didn't. I didn't see. I wasn't seeing. I was doing the best I knew how, but I didn't see. The light of God's word, the Bible says the washing of the water by the word, it's cleansing you to where you're like, wait a minute, I don't have to be like that. God doesn't see me like that. He isn't keeping me from this. If you've ever had the thought God's keeping you from something and it's good, I'm here to tell you it's not true. He will never keep you from something good. He is on our side. He is good. But we'll think, oh, God's holding me back. What is that? It's a variant of what we started out saying. Somehow, God is better to some other people than me. That's a lie. That's not true. You know, and I'll say this, people have bought into this lie, and it has all kinds of forms. All kinds of forms. It's because I don't have any hair, or it's because of my, you know, I have glasses, or it's because of my skin color, or it's because I talk with a southern accent, or whatever. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people in the world that are prejudiced. They are. But when we start thinking everything is like that, if we understand God is, he's working with me as long as I'm working with the Word, he's not going to play favorites with me. If I start going off the Word, he can't do anything. But if I'm walking with him, he is going to help me. I don't have to try to call out stuff of what men can do to me. I say, God, you're with me. I'm doing my best. And walk with him, we'll start to see things that we thought were him holding us back or somebody else holding us back, and it'll change. But what changed? Did all of a sudden everybody around us change? No. Our understanding of God and his word changed. How did that happen? The light of his word comes in, and it clears things up. And this is one of those areas. God is not better to other people. Did I really go over? Wow. I thought I was just about to ready to wrap up. We'll wind this up. It's 8:05. Thought I had a few more minutes. We'll pick up next time, I think. I thought we'd be wrapping up. We'll see. But God is not better to other people than he is to you. If you leave with one thought, God is good to all. His mercy is over all his works. When you see something else and you're like, well, it just seems like God has been favoring them. Well, if he is, the Bible says that God will surround you with favor as a shield, but it's not the people that are opposing him. If we'll work with him, it gives him the license and the authority and the place to do things for us. So yes, you might see the favor of God in somebody's life, but what's behind the scenes? Are they receiving more of what God has done? Because God is just. God is good. And he is the same to all. But he honors our response to him is what creates the difference. But if you could get one thing and take it away, is that God is good to all, and he is not playing favorites. He is just as good to you as he is to anybody else. And what we need to do is hook up with that and say, oh, Lord, you're good. And give him the opportunity to work in our lives. Give him the opportunity to do all that he wants to do. Wherever we'll let him, he'll come in. But so many times, consciously or not, we're resisting because we've been brainwashed. We're saying, oh, no, God doesn't do this, so he can't do it. Oh, God is not a healer, so he can't heal. Well, but I do know that he can help me in the financial realm. So guess what? He helps. Well, I know he can save me. So guess what? He's your savior. But these other areas, they're like dark spots. But that's not his will. Amen.